Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor Daber El Bnei Yisrael Lemor Isha Ki Sazria Violida Zachar ... Vim Nekeva Seled. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, when a woman conceives and gives birth to a male, ... And then it says, if she gives birth to a female, ... Hence the introduction of happy birthday. So no surprise there. But we got another ... Because this is a two Torah Shabbat, we have a maftir from Parshat Bo, one of my favorite topics, and we'll be speaking about it. No surprise there either. Vayomer Adonai El Moshe Vio Aharon Be'eretz Mitzrayim Lemor HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. Hashem said to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be for you the beginning of the months. It shall be for you the first of the months of the year. OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Tazria, Shabbat HaChodesh. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 25th day of Adar Bet, Tafshin Ayin Dalet, 5774, corresponding to the 27th day of March. We in Israel begin summertime. In other countries, it has started already. I don't know about all countries, but certainly in the States. But we begin on, now it's standardized to the last Friday in March. And that would be tonight, tomorrow morning, where officially, as 1:59 goes into the next minute, it becomes 3 o'clock rather than 2 o'clock. So that's our story for Shaon Kayetz. And this Shabbat is Parshat Tazria, a relatively short Parsha of only 67 psukim, followed by a 20 pasuk haftorah, maftir, of HaChodesh, and followed by the haftorah of HaChodesh, which preempts that of Tazria. Okay, are we clear? Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Kraticha Adonai. Adonai Shimava Koli, Tehiena Aznecha Kashivot Lokol Tachanunai. Imavono Tishmoria Adonai Mia Amod, Ki Imacha Hasalicha Lama'an Tivare. Kiviti Adonai Kivatanaf Shiva Lidvaroho Chalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mi kol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omidim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzieim mi tzara lirvacha, umeyafela la'ora, ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. Okay, I just listened to my own voice, and I am nasal. I feel a little stuffed up, so I apologize in advance, or not in advance. But that's the story. It happens. Lovely weather we're having today in Yerushalayim. But I am stuffed up. Okay. Since we started with the psukim in Tazria, I will mention that Tazria, as I said, a relatively short parsha, breaks down into the first eight verses, which make up one chapter, happens to be the shortest perek in Torah, of eight psukim, about birth. Specifically about a woman giving birth and her status of tuma and tahara, ritual purity and impurity, in various times after the birth, the mitzvah of circumcision of male children, and the mitzvah of a yoledet, a woman who gave birth, to bring korbanot to the Beit HaMikdash. And that's it. There's what to talk about there, but I don't know if I'm going to get to it. The rest of the parsha, 67 minus 8, leaves 59 psukim, and the bulk of next week's seder of Metzora, which is usually together with Tazria. In fact, the usually is 12 years out of a 19-year cycle. There are only 12 months, and Tazria and Metzora are together. And in the 7 months out of a 7 years out of a 19-year cycle, when we add an extra Adar, they are split. That's one of the pairs that helps make up the Torah reading for the year when you have extra Shabbatot. Anyway, most of Tazria and most of Metzora deal with Nigaim, blemishes. The word Sara'at is usually translated as leprosy. It is not an accurate translation. We're dealing with a whole variety of skin eruptions and rashes and spotting, some of which are only physical, and some of which have a spiritual nature to them. And that's the interesting part of the whole topic of Tzara'at and Nega'im. In other words, again, without going into too much detail, we are dealing with a connection that God is making for us between physical malady and spiritual cause of that malady. If we were to have, I've said this different ways in the past, if we were to have a guidebook that says that when a person gets the flu, it's a result of his embarrassing somebody in public, or more appropriately would be someone whose face is disfigured or his face breaks out in pimples is because he embarrassed somebody. If we had a definite connection between that which happens to us physically and spiritually, then we would know the spiritual, religious, emotional, psychological cause of a malady, and we would be hopefully inspired to repent and turn over a new leaf and change our ways. But we don't have such a book. We have a concept. The concept is, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, past and future, that there are certain kinds of blemishes that a person not only takes to his GP or his family doctor, but he must show to a Kohen who is expert on the topic of Tzara'at, a topic of Nigaim, afflictions. And the Kohen is the one who will determine whether that particular rash or discoloration is a source of ritual impurity and declare the person tamei, or he will declare a period of 1 week quarantine. At the end of that week, he re-examines the blemish to see if it has changed in size, to see if it has a change in coloration, and either will declare the person Tameh or Tahor or another week of quarantine, at the end of which he declares the person Tameh or Tahor, depending on what's happened. Now, all in the meantime, the person is supposed to do a lot of introspection, which he has extra opportunity to do because of his quarantine, and hopefully mend his ways. What about a rash being caused by an allergy to strawberries? What about pimples breaking out because of oily skin? That's a possibility also. It would be up to the Kohen expert to determine at first blush whether we have a Nigaim situation, or he could say this is not at all anything to do with Nega. Go see your doctor, go see a dermatologist, and get it treated in a physical way. The analogy to all of this that I think is very appropriate is to the concept of psychosomatic illness, where sometimes a doctor would perceive, just get the feel of the patient, that there are psychological problems that are causing physical manifestations, and treating just the physical side is not the solution. The example I used is if a doctor feels that shortness of breath or pains here and there are a result from stress in the workplace, then stress management would be the cure for the problem and not medication. So that's psychological to physical, and the incredible thing is we know well that if you reduce the stress, some of the physical problems go away by themselves. You don't have to treat them. Sometimes they are actual physical problems that you have to treat. In a similar sense, if our sages tell us that one of the main problems with tzoraat, one of the main causes of tzoraat, is lashon hara, gossip and defaming of character, talking about people behind their backs, then this was something that was declared when eruptions on the skin or whatever were declared by a kohen to make the person tameh. Then he's being told, you probably need to examine your nature, your character traits, and see, do you speak ill of other people? Are you quick to gossip about people? And maybe that's the direction that will help alleviate the physical problem. Now, we can't do that today, per se, because we don't have the whole process. It's followed up by Korbanot, and without a Beit HaMikdash, we don't have that. So we don't have Kohanim who would declare a blemish to be a source of Tumah, ritual impurity. But we do have the notion. The notion still stays with us, that things that happen should result in a person's introspection, examination of himself, and hopefully a change for the better in one's behavior. So that is the short end of the whole topic of Nega'im, and I really would like to move on to various aspects of the Haftarah, the Maftir rather, of HaChodesh, since anyone who reads Torah Tidbits or listens to Torah Tidbits audio knows that we're dealing with one of my all-time favorite topics of Kiddush HaChodesh. So I hope to be enlightening and not cause you to have a headache or say, there he goes again. Now, it sort of just dawned on me that we have an interesting situation on the two ways of reckoning our calendar. We have a Mishnah that in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah that says that there are four Rosh Hashanahs. But let's leave out the Rosh Hashanah for trees and the Rosh Hashanah for animals, because they're different from the other two that I'd like to contrast for a moment or compare. And that is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is the date we call Rosh Hashanah, and the first of Nisan, based on the pasuk that we will read, the pesukim that we will read in the Maftir this week, of HaChodesh HaZeh, this month of Nisan, is the first of your months. So the Mishnah sort of equivocates and says, yes, Nisan is the first of the months of the year, but Aleph Tishrei is the first of the year. So we end up with two sort of beginnings of the year. And this is not a foreign concept. There's in the secular world a calendar year, a school year, a fiscal year, and probably a whole bunch of others. So even though the year is January through December, the school year begins in September and goes till June, leaving out July and August as vacation. So that notion exists in Jewish way of thinking of it. We belong to the human race, and the human race is tied to creation. And creation, according to one of the main opinions, was in Tishrei. And therefore, our years are counted from Tishrei through Elul. But our months are numbered according to the sequence established at the Exodus, which puts Nisan as month number one, because that's the month in which we came out of Egypt. So it gets a little confusing there, because Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the year, is the first of the seventh month. But that's the way it works. Okay, so watch this. The cycle of the year has it that on the Shabbat before the first of each month, we bless the month coming and we announce when Rosh Chodesh is, we announce when the birth of the new moon is, except right before Rosh Hashanah. In other words, Tishrei's Rosh Chodesh, also known as Rosh Hashanah, is not announced in the same way, and there are reasons that are given. It de-emphasizes the month aspect of Tishrei and focuses on its role as the beginning of the year. When we come to Nisan, we announce it in advance, the Shabbat before, which is this coming Shabbat, just like we do for the other months of the year, except Tishrei. But the Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when it falls on Shabbat, or the Shabbat right before, which is this Shabbat, in addition to being Rosh Chodesh benching, is also Parshat HaChodesh. So it focuses on Nisan's unique position as the first of our months, the month in which we became a nation by coming out of Egypt, and that adds a significance to the regular cycle of the years, which run from Tishrei, from creation. I always like to suggest that we, the Jewish people, are not Jewish as opposed to being human. We are Jewish in addition to being human. We have a responsibility and a privilege to be part of the human race and everything that that involves. We have an additional status and challenge to be faithful members of the Jewish people. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or the month of Nisan, symbolizes and focuses more on the Jewish aspect of our lives, where the notion in Tishrei is, as the Mishnah says, Kol Ba'ei Olam, all those of this world, meaning non-Jews as well, pass before God in divine judgment, and there is a more universal flavor to Rosh Chodesh Tishrei than there is to the Nisan reckoning. Now, there's a small thing that comes from the focus on Nisan as month number one. I've mentioned it many times in the past, might as well say it again. And that is, I'll start from personally. Personally, I do not use the numbers to represent the secular months, because if you call January 1, if you call March 3, then you are basically disregarding the mitzvah, the first mitzvah given to the people of Israel, of Kiddush HaChodesh, because the Pasuk says, HaChodesh HaZeh, this month, Nisan, is the first of your months, not January. And therefore, I opt, and this is not an initiative of my own, this comes from various sources, one of which I think is the Chetam Sofer, and I know that there have been other people since who have confirmed this as a preference, not to number the secular months, but to use their names. J-A-N is January, M-A-R is March, or M-A-R-C-H, and not the numbers because of HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem. It's a small thing. I make a big deal out of it sometimes, and I'm not sorry for it, but I will fill out a form that has two digits available for me to write the number of the month, and I will write the name of the month instead. And once in a while I have no choice, but usually I do, in which case I use the Jewish date. And if I have to write the secular date, I use the names of the months rather than their numbers. I would like to spend some time talking about certain details and maybe clarifying for people. Before that, I have a new thought this year, which I wrote in the lead tidbit this week. And what it does is point to the famous first Rashi of the Torah, where Rashi says, how come we're starting, he's quoting a Rabbi Yitzchak, how come we're starting the Torah with Bereshit, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, if the Torah is a guideline, a guidebook for mitzvot for the Jewish people, it should start with Parshat HaChodesh. Hold that thought, I'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits Audio. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parsha Tazria for Shabbat HaChodesh. The music you just heard, I'm going to tell you right off, is the theme music for Flower of the Month. I have no idea what Flower of the Month is. I looked it up in an internet movie database. Not there. I looked it up on the regular Google. Didn't really find anything. But it's a little nice little music. So that starts our second half of the show. However, since it mentions Flower of the Month, it reminds me of Birkat HaIlanot, which we should talk about a little bit also. So I'll start with that. And that will give me the song Ilan Ilan to play again for you, which is a pretty song. Tell you about that in a moment. I remember learning about the Birkat HaIlanot late in life relative to all the other brachot that I learned as a child. I don't know why, but I was not aware of it until my teen years. And it's really the only bracha that I remember saying for the first time, which is an exciting thing that Balei Tshuva experience, but FFBs do not. If you know what I'm talking about, fine, and if not, also fine. I know I started something right before the second half began, or the end of the first half, but I'll get back to it. Birkat HaIlanot goes like this. Shulchan Aruch tells us that the first time in the month of Nisan that a person sees a fruit tree in blossom, he makes a special blessing. That blorcha is called Birkat Ilanot, and it starts out as other brachot do, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shelo Chisar Ba'olamo Davar, excuse me, that God did not leave anything out of this world, Uvaravo Briot Tovot V'Ilanot Tovim, and he created in this world nice and beautiful things and trees, Lahanot Bahem B'nei Adam, for the benefit and pleasure of the human being. The details of the bracha is, preferably it should be said on two trees or more, since we use the plural in the bracha, and it has to be specifically a tree that will bear fruit that is now with blossoms. A flowering tree that doesn't bear fruit, you don't say this bracha for. A fruit tree that already is bearing fruit, you don't say it for. Or a fruit tree that hasn't yet blossomed. It is a recognition and an acknowledgement of God for a chupar. I don't know if some of the listeners out of Israel know what a chupar is. A chupar is a bonus. We have trees that bear fruit, and we enjoy the fruit, and that would be enough to say, this is a special kind of tree. Look, it's an apple tree, and we get bushels of apples from it every season. You don't need more than that to show the value of a tree. But before the fruits grow, beautiful apple blossoms, flowers, grow on that tree. They smell beautifully. They smell beautiful. And they are very fragrant, and they are a delight to look at and to ponder, even before we get the fruit from the tree. That is the essence of the blessing. Torah Tidbits has it this week. You can also get it on the Torah Tidbits website, which is ttidbits.com. And I did not single out, I should have, I did not single it out, but if you open up even the extra light version, certainly the whole version, but even the extra light version will have a page on Birkat Ilanot. And you could print out that page and you could use it from next Tuesday, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, throughout the month when you see fruit trees in blossom. Now, because this year's Nisan was delayed a month with the addition of a second Adar, many fruit trees have already started to blossom, and one should not wait too late into the month in order to seek out this special once-a-year bracha, because the flowers might be gone by the time you get around to making the brachot. My plan for Tuesday is to check out the fruit trees. The page in Torah Tibbetz that I referred to is page 50 on the hard copy. It's earlier in the extra light edition on the internet, has an introduction with an explanation, has the bracha. Then it has two chapters of Tehillim, 122 and 128, which some people say it's the same experience. Then I added the poem Trees by Joyce Kilmer. And then I added at the bottom the English translation of a passage in Talmud which speaks about a person having a quandary as to how to acknowledge and show his appreciation for a fellow who was good to him, and he just didn't know what to say to him, because any blessing that he could give him would be something he already possesses, since he had many, many positive traits and attributes. So the Talmud says, to what may this be compared? To a man who was journeying in the desert. He was hungry, weary, and thirsty, and he lighted upon a tree of fruits of which were sweet, the fruits of which were sweet, its shade pleasant, and a stream of water was flowing beneath it. He ate of its fruits, drank of the water, and rested under the shade. When he was about to continue his journey, he said, "Tree, O tree, with what shall I bless you? Shall I say to you, may your fruits be sweet? They are already sweet. That your shade be pleasant? It is already pleasant. That a stream of water may flow beneath you? Lo, a stream of water flows already beneath you. Therefore, I say, may it be God's will that all the shoots taken from you be like you." And so with the person. With what shall I bless you? With the knowledge of Torah? You already possess knowledge of Torah. With riches? You have riches already. With children? You have children already. Hence I say, may it be God's will that your offspring be like you. Ilan, Ilan.
Ilan, Ilan, Bame Avarecha, Bame Avarecha, Ilan, Ilan, Bame Avarecha, Bame Avarecha. Ilan, Ilan, va me avarechecha, va me avarechecha. Ilan, Ilan, va me avarechecha. Vame avarechecha. Reyehu perotecha metuki, harei perotecha metuki, Reyehe tilchanae, harei tilchanae. Ah,
Okay, back on track from what I started before. The very first Rashi in the Torah, very well-known, famous Rashi, says, how come we're starting with Bereshit and creation? Those are not mitzvot. The book of mitzvot that the Torah is should start with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim in Parshat Bo, the Maftir, which we read this Shabbat, Parshat HaChodesh, with the very first mitzvah that was commanded to the people of Israel back when they were still in Egypt. And the Torah makes a point on the pasuk that I read at the beginning. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim lemor. You don't often have identification of the place where God speaks to them, but this time you do. Okay. So Rashi's answer is to make it clear to the world that God created the world, that God gave land of the world to whom he chose, took it back from whom he chose, and gave it to whom he chose. If the world will say, Israel, you are thieves, with Eretz Yisrael, like we have ridiculous people who every Friday protest, Di Lekibush, enough of occupation, and I'd like to add to that enough of occupation of Eretz Yisrael by non-Jewish hands, which is not what they have in mind. Anyway, that this is God's world. He chose to give the land of Israel in perpetuity to the Jewish people, descendants of Avraham, not just Avraham, Yitzchak, not just Yitzchak, but Yaakov as well. And that is clearly set down in the Bible, and any Bible-believing person has to see that as God's will. So I had a thought. I mean, I've known this Rashi for a long time, and it explains in a certain summation way why the Torah begins at the beginning. And it also makes the point that the Torah is not just a book of mitzvot, but it is the story of the world and of the Jewish people. And then it finally dawned on me this week, and the headline of the tidbit in print is the Asimon fell, finally fell. The Asimon finally fell, which is an expression which is used to this day in Israel, but it is an anachronism, because it refers to the telephone call boxes, which you used to plunk in, not money, but asimonim, tokens, telephone tokens, and that would be your call. And the way it worked, the coin was held suspended until a certain number of minutes into the call, depending on where you were speaking, and then the asimon fell into the collection box inside the phone. The term, the Asimon fell, came to mean sort of what I said, it finally dawned upon somebody, something he's been seeing for a long time, but the Asimon was just hanging there, and finally when it fell, it sort of made it, now I understand. Anyway, the Asimon fell for me this week when I realized that these two concepts of creation of the world and of the giving of Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people and the mitzvah of the Jewish calendar are very significantly linked, and they're linked by the word Kedusha, sanctity, the one being sanctity of place, the other being sanctity of time. We human beings exist in this world, which is a world of three dimensions, and if you want to call it a fourth dimension or not, doesn't matter, and time. So we have a concept of sanctification of time, which refers to Shabbat, which refers to the Jewish calendar, every Rosh Chodesh and the holidays in the months, and the sanctity of place, which refers to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and Temple Mount and the place of the Mikdash, and within that, the courtyard of the Mikdash, the actual sanctuary of the Mikdash, and the ultimate level being the Holy of Holies, the Kodshei Kodashim. But the point is that that first Rashi addresses the topic of a special place for the Jewish people, for the Torah, and that being Eretz Yisrael. And HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem encapsulates the idea of the sanctity of time. So it's as if Rashi is saying, don't think the Torah, I mean, this is not what Rashi is saying, this is what I'm suggesting, is another level or another way of looking at this. It is that Judaism is not just the command to sanctify time, but it needs a specific location to maximize the sanctity, and that place is Eretz Yisrael. You could do mitzvot, many of them all over the world. The quality of the observance of a mitzvah is higher or potentially higher in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else. Now, certainly, mitzvot that depend on the land cannot be done outside of Eretz Yisrael. But I'm talking about all mitzvot. When a person says birkat hamazon, benching, grace after meals, he says it all over the world, wherever he is and wherever he eats a satisfying meal or any kind of meal with bread. And, of course, it is said by Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. You live here, the quality of that mitzvah is greater, especially when you get to the second bracha, which speaks about Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava Shinchalta Lavoteinu, the land of Israel, the beautiful, gracious land which you have given our ancestors for their descendants for us. You could say that in New York, it does not have the same power as it does when you say it here. And it doesn't only have to be a textual thing that I'm referring to. I'm talking about the quality of Shabbat has a much higher potential here in Eretz Yisrael than it does in the States or anywhere else in the world. The quality of the Chagim, especially. Pesach is something that communities in Chutz La'aretz cut out a niche for the observance of Pesach, and it becomes part of their experience. But here it is a total saturation of your environment. Commercials on television are for kosher LePesach products, for matzot, for seder plates, for everything. The preparations for Pesach, especially now as we enter the month of Nisan shortly, are so part of the natural environment in this country. How much more so they will be in the time of the third Beit HaMikdash, but even before that, you feel Pesach all over, much, much more potentially than you do anywhere else in the world. So that first Rashi says, you know why we started? Because God gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people to keep the mitzvot, including the very first mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. With a little more than a minute, I have not much time to say a lot of things that I wanted to. I will suffice with the following. God gave a gift to the Jewish people, and that is our calendar. He gave responsibility, primary responsibility, to the representatives of the people in the form of Moshe and Aaron in that time, in the form of the Sanhedrin throughout the generations, including our time, which has no Sanhedrin, but a previous Sanhedrin set us up with the mathematical formulas to determine our calendar until we have a new Sanhedrin. It behooves us, I don't like using that word too much, but I like it, it behooves us to know our calendar because it was a gift from God. That means know your Hebrew birthday in addition to your English birthday. That means celebrate your Hebrew birthday. That means be aware of the date. Today is the 25th of Adar Bet. Yes, it's also the 27th of March, but don't forget the Hebrew date also. Without too much more time, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chodesh Tov, L'Hishtameah.